Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio show on the internet. And this is your host, Allison, and I welcome you to the show this evening, and I'm happy you decided to join us. I'm also happy to bring you my special guest this evening, Dr. Lori Levin. Lori is a doctor of clinical psychology and founder and CEO of Moonview Sanctuary in Santa Monica, California. She has a rare combination of 25 years experience in the entertainment industry, along with 15 years experience in the field of psychology, so she truly has a unique insight into the mental process and behavior. In November of 1998, Dr. Levin began developing an innovative approach designed to reframe traditional psychotherapy, drawing on her belief in holistic team approach while focusing on the uniqueness of each individual. She helped pioneer a completely different protocol for mental health. In 2004, her vision was realized with the opening of Moonview Sanctuary, a medical, psychiatric, and transformational institute. Through the careful integration of medicine, psychology, and neuroscience, along with ancient wisdom and healing arts, Moonview Sanctuary blends contemporary knowledge with the universal consciousness. In 2006, Dr. Levin applied for a patent for a new form of psychoanalysis she developed called Soul Communion, a process that encourages people to seek guidance, inspiration, and expansion from planes beyond our consciousness. She is the author of God, the Universe, and Where I Fit In, which is a psychic's reflection on figuring out the rest of your life. And I really would like to welcome Lori right now to the show. So hi, Lori.
Hi, Allison. How are you today?
I am fine. I'm so happy to finally have you here. You were so kind. You know, when we canceled the show the last time you were scheduled, we decided to do something for Haiti. We had a guest that was going to come on raising awareness and interest in sending money and items to Haiti, and you were so gracious and so kind to fully understand and step back and just allow me to bring that other guest on. And so I don't know if I ever thanked you for that, but thank you.
You're so welcome. I mean, that was truly a priority, very high priority.
Right, but I thank you for that. But I'm glad that we finally have you here.
Yes, I'm so thrilled to be here.
Okay. I want to just take a moment and give our listeners your websites, because they can check them out while we are talking, and that'll give them a chance to peruse them. So first website that I want to give everyone is LoriAnnLevin.com, and that's LoriAnnLevin.com. And you can also take a look at the most beautiful, it's just a gorgeous website, MoonviewSanctuary.com, MoonviewSanctuary.com. And you really want to take the time, and while you're listening, go over and check out both those websites. And I also wanted to share one thing with our listeners, if you don't mind, Lori, and that is that I have personally experienced Lori's healing gifts. We decided to exchange readings, more or less. I did a numerology reading for her, and she did her, she's a healer in every sense of the word. She did a reading for me. And I just want to tell my listeners that I really was very honestly profoundly moved by her insight and her words. So, you know, when I experienced someone on that level, it was a soul thing, and she really is a healer in every sense of the word. It was a very beautiful, profound moment an hour that we spent together. It was wonderful.
2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, was it 2 hours? It was a long time, but it was wonderful. And, you know, we also have many listeners, Lori, that are very interested in numerology. So I do want to share with those listeners that Lori, when I look at her chart, you know, she certainly has brought a great deal of spiritual wisdom to this planet based on her numbers. And she does hold the energy of a spiritual medium. So that's just saying that she has a very strong connection to the divine realms. And I also feel on many levels, Lori, that when we look at your chart, that you are a catalyst for change. That there are some people that come down, see what's going on, see a better way, and then they bring that change about on this planet. And your chart also speaks very strongly about that. And you know, when I had the opportunity, Lori was kind enough to send me a copy of her book, God, the Universe, and Where I Fit In. And, you know, there were so many things that were written in that book, which is right up the alley of what her energy is in her numerology chart. So it was really a delight for me to be able to make those comparisons. So thank you for your book.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I will say with the book, you know, when I experienced you, your personality, before I ever got around to reading the book, what I really detected was, you know, somewhat of, you know, a very approachable person, with a great deal of warmth, somebody that truly is capable of inspiring others. But in many ways, it was like a non-threatening sort of an energy. It was very warm and very welcoming and very generous energy. And yet, in that energy, there's something of a steel trap door there as well. There's a very much an intellectual, someone very knowledgeable, extreme amount of wisdom that comes through. And it was just interesting to me, these two different kinds of energy. And when I read your book and the actual stories of your life, you know, that seems to be a theme with you, this beautiful, soft, feminine, somewhat very approachable person, maybe a little vulnerable at times, but underneath that is one very strong, very focused woman.
That's the greatest compliment anyone has ever given me. A juxtaposition of contradictions, right?
Exactly.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I like the way you see me. I like the way you see
me. Do you resonate to that?
Yeah. No, I think that that's extremely accurate.
Yeah. Well, I just find you interesting beyond words. And in the book, it made me laugh. There's a couple of things. I thought we almost, in some cases, lived a little bit of a parallel life. I could just see so many things in the way that you wrote it, and I rather, you know, I just could have actually written those words if I was to paraphrase a few things in my life. So I thought that was really interesting as well. Lori, you know, the book is wonderful. And really, I know that you wrote the book to share a lot of things with people. But figuring out the rest of your life, you know, this is your story of how you figured out by going in one direction and maybe having a destination and arriving in it and finding out that this really isn't where you can achieve happiness, and then taking another route, you know what I'm saying, until you find something that is more in, let's just say, a communion with your soul. What was your prerogative for writing this book in the first place?
The book was a way to share my shoes, not to presume that anybody should be given a pass anyway, but to borrow my shoes. It's like when you said, I read some passages and I could have written them myself. My hope in being so vulnerable and open and honest and heavily, I did a heavy inventory on my life, was to show people that how I did it, and that they could get maybe the strength and inspiration to find their path. It's really, when you're stripped, as I was, of every identity that you defined yourself off of, all the externals, I was no longer a wife, I was no longer a full-time mother, so I shared custody with my husband, I was no longer a movie agent, I was, you know, when you get stripped of all of those external labels, what you need for me to do in order to find myself was to love myself from the inside out, not as others defined me. Mm-hmm. And then how I got to that was connecting deeper to my divine source. So my belief system might be one where I label it or I give it a lexicon that might be different for somebody else, depending mm-hmm. upon the religion they were born mm-hmm. into or what they decide is sacred and holy to them. But the idea of calling on that which is bigger than ourselves to help us get through it, anyone in any belief system can do. Because even the strongest atheist will acknowledge that they've been thinking about somebody all day long that they hadn't seen for years. They get home and that person's on their voicemail.
Sure.
And they do acknowledge that there is a connection to us and that things happen that are beyond coincidence. They just don't assign the same meaning as those of us who believe in God or believe in, you know, a particular connection to protection and guidance and direction. Mm-hmm. So this book was to help others through knowing what I went through,
right,
find that deeper source.
Right. That's true. It was interesting to me that almost from the beginning, without being defining it in any way, you seem to have an intuitive way about you, that you knew what direction to go in, what projects to pick, what people to work with, and without really putting a label on that or calling yourself intuitive or even to see that as being your divine connection. What was the moment in your life, really, where you put it all together?
It was a leading up to, you know, and I know that there are different labels and connective definitions, like clairsentient, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the reason why I like to call myself intuitive is because I feel like we all do it all. You know, I
mm-hmm.
do it all, but I don't know exactly when it's coming through, the different ways that it's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a feeling and a knowing, a gut knowing and a feeling that I was connected to God and that God was working with me
mm-hmm.
as a little kid, but he didn't have a defined ratification, a corroboration or a truth that I could assign to it. I just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
There came a moment throughout my life where several moments. One was I was in a business meeting. This is the first time where I dared to speak what I was getting other than to very, 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 very close friends. I was setting up Moonview, and I was in a business meeting with the gentleman who was putting together our business plan, and we were in my home office, and he was wearing a ring, and I had a feeling it was his father's. And I said, "Jamie, is that your father's ring?" "Yes." He said, "My father has just passed." I immediately get filled with an extra electrical field, and I said to him, "Your father's in the room." At that moment, a clock falls off the shelf. I mean, there was nothing near this shelf. And I dared to say, "Jamie, did your father have a fascination with clocks?" And he said, "I don't know. His mother raised him. They got divorced when he was young." But the gentleman, his father, who was James Sr., started to lodge himself in my throat. There was no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
He was there to prod me, to tell me, to tell Jamie what he was needing to give to Jamie. So I immediately said, "Look, I've never done this before to people who I'm not really, really close to, but your father is here and he has a message. Would you like to know what he has to say?" And then out from my mouth came information that I would have no way of knowing. His father was in a process of dismantling his business. He'd called Jamie in to help him because he knew he was dying. He had business partners. He didn't know what to do. I gave him a reading about his children, his business. And Jamie calls me back up next day and said, "I checked with my mother, and my father loved clocks. And I just want you to know, Lori, because you told me that you'd never done it before." And this makes me cry, that my father's mission was to help mentor. He always wanted to take the young and help them put wind at their back.
Mm-hmm.
And since this was the next stage of my work,
mm-hmm.
his father, in effect, was like wind at my back saying, you need to do this. You
mm-hmm.
know, you need to come forward. You need to be bold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really. You know, it's interesting, you know, I also read that in the book where you the words that you use is that an energy field, like it's like an extra energy field that comes in that you can literally feel it, right?
Yes.
And I thought that was really interesting because I always call it electric. It always feels as if something comes in and it just feels like it comes in at the top of your head and it goes right down to the bottom of your toes. And it's nothing, it's not you, it's something that came in, you know?
Yes.
And so it was really interesting when I was reading your book that I was able to relate to that. And certainly the times that that's happened to me, it has been a time when somebody that has crossed over is actually using me as a messenger for someone else. And again, like you, I don't bill myself as being a medium in any sense of the word, because I don't, it comes when it wants to come. It comes at it will. And so it's always interesting. It was really interesting to read how you defined that, because that was really, you know, pretty much, yes, those would be the words I would use as well, that it's a almost like a foreign energy field that comes in.
Thank you, Allison, for saying that. I do want to augment, because I do think that it comes to different people in different ways. And
sure.
Where I've noticed is you have to look at your own primary way of processing information. Are you visual? Are you auditory? Are you kinesthetic? Are you analytical? There's a mutuality to that which wants to connect to you and the way that they may have a strong purpose or a strong thematic through line in mutuality to you. And I have an augmentation on some of the popular beliefs that I don't think it's only those who want to connect to you that you can ask and almost demand that consciousness of love and light, whatever words one wants to call it. In my lexicon, I call it love and light, meaning that the all, God, all that exists, is of love and is of light, and I subscribe to the dark as being uninterpreted light. I don't think about Satan or evil, even though that exists. It is, to me, uninterpreted light. So I try at all times to transmute that which comes toward me into love and light. But I will say that it comes in different ways to different people in different constructs. So there are those times where you're talking to your close friend and you say something that God or guidance wants to punctuate, that you hold unto it, and they'll send a rush or a chill through your body. Or mm-hmm. your throat will tighten up and you know that there's a presence in the room and they'll talk through you. Or you'll get a dream that's bigger than an ordinary dream. Or you'll have a pang of electricity coming from nowhere. You haven't moved and you have to take pause and say, okay, I'm getting this feeling. What is talking to me? What do they want me to know? So one of the main constructions and cornerstones of soul communion is that before you jump out of bed, you not only pause to say a prayer for what you want for your life and those around you, but that you stay in a place of receiving to say, okay, what is mine to do today, so that you're not some open unfettered, you know, you're just not some open satellite dish receiving everything that belongs to everyone. You're receiving what's meant for you, and to break down your patterns and get you out of the loops that most people get themselves into. What might I not even know to ask that God, guidance, or some universal energies want me to know? That's mm-hmm. the big one. What might I not even know to ask that is meant for me to know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That would be an interesting question to ask, I would think. And you wouldn't think to do that. So that's, and this is something that you yourself, this is part of the soul communion, right?
Yes, soul communion is many, many years of, I should start off with, my beginning, which is in the book, but the beginning of my awareness that there were other dimensions and other realities and that we were much bigger than our own DNA, and that we are much bigger, our God self is much bigger than just what exists here and mm-hmm. even on the dream plane,
mm-hmm.
and or how we can bilocate. You can think of somebody who's not even in your country and enter into them, meaning close your eyes, envision them, walk into them much the way you'd walk into a car, stay empty, posit a question, and that person, if they are willing, because there's always mutuality, mm-hmm. will talk to you, whether living or dead. Mm-hmm. That's how what you know those who train to talk to those who've passed on mm-hmm. will do it. But so beyond that, that the whole foundation to soul communion is a belief in the research, which is now 40 years of research and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that we've, you know, recounted their near-death experiences, what happened to them at the time of life review. Mm-hmm. At the time of life review, we don't only live out our life again, but we remember how we lived our life in what we learned from each moment and relive it as though we're the people in that experience all over again, and what they got from being in our action, what we did together, mutuality of exchange. Mm-hmm. That exchange right then and there in that resolution, self-forgiveness, times of great regret, guilt, remorse, shame, even great joy, why that takes place in life review. Why do we need a near-death experience to have that kind of course correction? Why can't we start that work now? And in that knowing that there is life after life, much the way little children who got asked about their life, their near-death experience, they were often met by a grandparent who said, it's not your time yet. Often people who are dying will call out names of deceased family members who they clearly see in the room. We don't see them in the room. So we know now that there is a grouping of souls, ancestors, love, guidance, God, you know, saints, sages, masters, whoever is specific to you, that joins us at the time that we're about to pass over.
Sure.
Soul communion is about knowing that that exists for you all the time. It's not just when you're crossing over mm-hmm. at birth or at death. They just need invitation by you to be invited in to help guide you in a more conscious, open, effective way. Mm-hmm. So the foundation of soul communion is we are more than our DNA. We are a God self and a God being that is guided, protected, and directed mm-hmm. by a group of consciousness that is really, truly here to serve us. And how do we call on that?
Sure. Well, getting back to, the life after death, you know, and that particular aspect, just to validate, a member of my family has actually been a nurse all her life. And nurses know when someone's going to cross over. They know when that patient isn't going to make it.
She's a hospice.
And how they know it is because they start talking to their loved ones in the room that nobody can see.
Right.
And so, you know, that's just somewhat validation for that. But I think that's really, the concept of soul communion, you know, is based on, you know, spiritual philosophy. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. There's so much to know. So, you know, it's like the more you don't know.
Well, I was going to tell you, Thomas Edison, one of the great scientists of our time, mm-hmm. at a very young age, he believed in life after life, and he was working on an EVP, an electronic voice.
I know.
So he, you know, Carl Jung, whose aunt was his doctoral dissertation was about the cult. His aunt, you know, performed seances with his mom mm-hmm. and his sister. What I was going to say to you when you say it gets overwhelming and sometimes you just don't know, that there is a famous psychologist named Erik Erikson who created the stages, 8 stages of development. And mm-hmm. one of the psychological theories is that when we get the most stressed, mm-hmm. we go to our most primitive knee-jerk reaction when we're the most young, you know, where that development might have gotten stuck. So what I wanted to say to the listeners is when we now, through old trauma or new stresses, and old trauma can get activated in a new stressor, but we haven't resolved that old trauma, so the same knee-jerk reactions don't, we either know we overreacted and it wasn't really fitting to the situation, or we clammed up and we froze and that didn't get us very far either, or we picked a fight, which didn't do it. So here's the new Lorianne Levin idea on when we get to a stressor, go to our highest sense of God self, which is, as near-death experiencers explain, they start to head toward this light, this all joy, all ecstasy, all-knowing light. Mm-hmm. And a great meditation and a pause when you know that you're not in your normal state, your internal states start to take over, your heart starts to beat, you feel like you've got a lot of thoughts that you wish you didn't have, you know, rushing through your mind, and you want to go and envision yourself in that light. Mm-hmm. Almost have the borders of your body dissolve. Just stick yourself in a bath of that light, pause, follow your breath to a slowed state, and then say again, what is mine to do in this moment? It will save you an argument of the worst kind with your loved ones. You know, and if you think about it, there's only three ways a soul can grow. You either grow through a body issue or a work issue or an intimate relationship issue. So, and that can mean a lot of different, you know, designs on that intimate. So when we only have three ways that we can grow, why do we need to keep in that same loop? Why not go beyond into an extra dimensional help state to invite all that consciousness in,
right,
that has a much broader vision,
mm-hmm,
almost as that God vision,
mm-hmm,
that Rashomon of when we went through life review.
Right. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. As a matter of fact, you know, I have, you know, that my grandchildren, that's why I was making the mac and cheese.
And the chicken tenders.
Right, yeah, and the chicken tenders for my grandchildren here over the Easter weekend. But I started with my granddaughter at an early age of doing visualizations. We would lie in bed as a game, and we would create our special place. That's what we called it, create our special place. And in our minds, we would create this beautiful place where we put everything in this room that, you know, whatever would feed your soul, whether that would be goldfish or puppies or books or music or whatever. And that was our special place that we go for peace. We go when we need to go to think about things. And, you know, slowly and over time, we would just lay in bed and we would both create our spaces in our head. Then we would tell each other what it looked like. And then when she made additions to her special place, she would call me to let me know that she had put something different in her room.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, and here's the beautiful thing about this. I mean, to me, this is something we should teach our children from a very early age. When one time she got a bloody nose, and it was a particularly bad one because we couldn't get it to stop. And so by this time, you know, many, many washcloths and paper towels and ice packs, and we finally had her in the bathroom, and you could tell from her eyes that she was getting very, very concerned, almost hysterical. And finally, my brain clicked in, and I said, Maddie, go to your special place. Go to the special room right now, and you go there, and you stay there, and Mommy and Grammy will get this nosebleed stopped. We promise you, it'll all be fine. Just go there. And she went from a very tensed body to almost crazy eyes, you know, can you imagine how hysterical she must have been, to this very calm demeanor, very calm demeanor. And within just a few minutes after that, we got the nosebleed to stop. And it was just a beautiful thing to witness her doing what I had taught her to do, but also that place was there for her, you know, and so much along the lines, I know not the exact same
visualization. No, but it's true, you're right.
It works so beautifully for her. If it can work for, you know, and a child's problems are somewhat minute compared to what we face as adults. But nevertheless, the trauma is in that moment for that child, and it worked for her.
Perfect.
And I really believe that whenever we get stressed, whenever we get to that place of where we need direction and guidance, or even just to take a breath and to calm down and to think it over, that's, you know, ultimately what everyone should do.
Yeah. No, her safe place was holy and sacred to her, and therefore it was bigger and more expansive than just her, you know, her primitive reaction, not that she shouldn't have had, it was an appropriate reaction, but
mm-hmm,
she got hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can learn a lot from the children, because if you, you know, if you look and observe at babies, they're cooing and at something in the room that we again can't see. They're
sure.
Still so fresh from heaven that they're hooked in to the energy fields, and they know you know, what's in the room, or they get attracted to a grandparent's picture that they've mm-hmm. never seen and want it close to them, and they know that that's their guide. They
sure.
get fixated on it, or sometimes they do the same behaviors, like always putting the hat on, and Aunt Tony always wore a hat, and I'm kissing Tony, Mommy, and Mommy doesn't see Tony. Well-meaning, loving caregivers, even spiritual caregivers, mm-hmm. will yank the children out of that reverie because they want them to address what's going on in the tangible world at that moment. But mm-hmm. children, we can learn a lot from
Absolutely.
Children. We can learn a lot from those that are aging and sleeping a lot and are knitting themselves into the subtle realms. We can learn a lot from the dream plane. And I just was going to say to you that in that white light or in that calling of extra consciousness, one can call on purposefully, with consciousness, the healers on the other side that want to rush forward, or mm-hmm. the businessmen that might want to help with their business venture, or their ancestors that stood for valor or, you know, or protection. It doesn't matter what you call on, but
mm-hmm.
call on it, and that helps. I just wanted to tell your listeners that on my website, I have a patent for starting an endeavor by calling on the other side and how to go through those steps. And also I have my doctoral dissertation, which talks about a new analytic construct called Soul Communion, and it talks about how to make not just the unconscious conscious, but how to clearly call on your intuitive self.
Sure.
So those are two tools for people who might want.
Right, and the other thing, I think I want to take you to Moonview Sanctuary for a moment. And, you know, I've worked with Ellen Dodge, and I'm sure you don't know who she is, but she's written 5 books on numerology, and it certainly would be considered to be a very well-respected numerologist. And Ellen, you know, in private conversations, told me that many a psychologist had consulted with her using numerology, that in the process of using the numerology to make more or less an analysis on that particular individual, and maybe even directing some of that information about the challenges that soul wrote for this particular lifetime, that the psychologists were very, very impressed with how it only took her, you know, X amount of time to come to that conclusion, where it might have taken them, you know, infinite many meetings. And what I love about Moonview is that there is a blending of not just what is conventional or traditional or recognized, but blending it in with holistic healing on many levels. Because the body is the vehicle. It is the vehicle. But you have the emotional body, you have the spiritual body, you know, besides the physical body. And I really feel in order to treat anything, you have to treat it on all levels. And I think that I'd love to have you talk about Moonview Sanctuary, what your vision is there, and what your facilities are like, and certainly about your programs.
Thank you. I to get back to your numerology and Ellen Dodge, yes, there's so much ancient wisdom that we have as a Western culture and our rugged individualism turned a blind eye to. And that's what Moonview was. It was researching all the new innovations in healing, relying on all of the ancient healing that has gotten us very far, then creating an even newer knowledge with that which is ancient and sacred, and all the newer, exciting terrain, and then calling on the other side with our own creativity and counseling. And that is what has been so exciting, that moment where you say, what would I not even know to ask that you want me to know? And all of these wonderful things come rushing forward for each client. The foundation of it was, you don't have to travel in your car, you know, each time you want to go see your favorite healer. That there was this grouping of great minds and great healers that were under one roof that would think tank on your case every day, that had already researched the most innovative healings for you, that we weren't opposed at all. We were founded in medicine as well as neuroscience and traditional allopathic as well as ancient, and then trying to formulate new ideas to your uniqueness. I've gotten tired not only of the way that insurance companies have been poorly reimbursing, but I got tired of the idea that it had to be cookie cutter and that so little money went toward the researching of new applied techniques. So we created something that isn't for everybody because obviously it's outside of insurance and there's probably about 15 doctors and practitioners working on each case, think tanking each case. But one of the main ideas behind it was trying to innovate a new model of care. Mm-hmm. So that is why I'm out with the book talking about my work, which is different than everybody else's work, so that we can get it out to the public what we learned. And what we did find out, everybody has their own specialty. They may not believe or have researched or been a part of life after life, but they have their own spiritual other aspects along with their either medical degree or their psychological degree or their, you know, whatever they do. So we're a team of multi hats, but I did want to say that Moonview is my baby. I founded it. I came up with the idea getting frustrated with reimbursement, getting frustrated with cookie cutter care, realizing having dealt with so many artists that everybody really is unique, and getting back to what you were talking about, talking, you know, to your niece, I think it was, with the nosebleed.
Granddaughter.
You can talk till the cows come home. Because it's a left brain activity and it's an analytical part of the brain, it doesn't necessarily get you to effectuate real healing in the body. The body is a more right brain in the trauma, the difficult nervous system, affect is in the right brain. So when you got her into the safe place, was much like hypnotherapy or EMDR, you were bringing her into her right brain, which helped modulate her body state. And very right brain dominant people, which are music, intuition, you know, creativity, right brain is... Do you need me to stop, Allison?
You can finish the idea. We do have a caller, Lori, but just okay. Go ahead and finish what you were saying. Caller, just hang in. We'll be right with you.
That a lot of the modalities that are right for some people mm-hmm. are not right for everybody. And in looking at everyone uniquely, mm-hmm. we could put together a recipe or prescription for that particular setup.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, Lori, we did have a caller call in, so just give me a moment. Let's see who's calling. Hi, caller. Who's calling?
Hi, my name is Frances. I'm new to your show. I'm calling from Maryland.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, Frances.
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. You've been listening to the show?
Yes.
And you have a question for Lori?
Pardon?
Do you have a question for Lori or a comment?
Sounds very interesting. This is my first time my daughter told me about the show. And I just wondered if I could get a reading.
Lori, I don't know.
Frances, I'm a psychologist, and what I do is I teach people how, or I share with people how they can get connected to their own intuition. I don't mm-hmm. really give readings. I try to teach you how to do it for yourself. Have you tried meditating and not the meditation where you have to empty your mind of all thoughts, but have you tried going in on yourself and seeing if your own wisdom can come forward?
No, I haven't.
One thing you might want to do is to just for you obviously have a question that's gnawing at you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right now, just take a second, close your eyes, and put yourself in a bath of white light.
Okay.
And ask the question silently in your head and see what comes forward. What are you getting?
I'm not getting anything.
Francis, you're not getting anything?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, you've got, I don't know, many, 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 many people listening right now, sending you a lot of light. And I'm picking up fear, you know, that you might have to do a systematic. This is wonderful for people who are feeling like they can't get there. Do you come from an ancestral line where this kind of stuff was not acceptable?
Probably 50-50.
All right.
50%.
For those listeners, first off, though, a couple of primary, you know, priming, not primary, but to prime yourself to get ready for this work is to ask your ancestral line to come toward serving you, guiding you from what you need and what you want, you know, and putting that forward. Because if you come from an ancestral line that showed love through worry or protection, then you immediately had to be in fear, and that's not going to help you. Worry and fear and protection is not the way to come. It's open. And then also for you to be open to yourself, you know, to love yourself, to not be afraid of anything that might come forward, to say, I am love and light. Can you say, I am love and light?
I am loving light.
Okay, now close your eyes. And with your ancestors being there for you, with thousands of people now giving you light, close your eyes and see if something doesn't come forward on that question that you had. Did you get something?
No, I can see the white light, but...
You can see the white light?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have meaning for you? Ask what the white light means in relationship to your question. I think the light is here to help you, Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting that feeling?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you getting anything more? I got that you got something, though. No? The light? Did the light speak to you or in any way?
No.
You might be a physical, you know, where you get a feeling. It's not a knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having a good feeling right now, like a feeling of peace?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. So the gnawing question may not have a specific answer, but you're feeling better about it?
Yes, I am.
Good. Good. I just want to share with you and the other listeners that there's a systematic chain of events. You know, one is inviting your ancestors in, and one is inviting, you know, God in, and your idea of God, and also allowing yourself to be open and not being in fear. That's why I keep saying love and light, is that sometimes we've been so protective our whole life to allowing things in, whether we had a hypervigilant childhood where we were on guard all the time or whether we endured a lot of trauma, but to stay open and take down that wall around our heart. It's almost a symbolic death. Not that you want to, this is not a life to be squandered. This physical body is a gift. But it's almost like opening yourself up to the all, much like those that have had the near-death experiences. Once they enter the all or the light, and the illusion is that we're separate, you know, that our body is our sovereign, you know, discrete individuality is true. But once we feel confident and know our purpose and our mission in life, we can more easily see our connectedness to the all. So it's almost a symbolic, not death, but a connection, a deep, deep, deep connection to the all. Mm-hmm. So will you keep trying that? And I think you will find that you will get answers. A lot of people have sent you a lot of light today.
Okie dokie. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frances, for calling in. Thank you for listening, dear.
Thank
Good night.
You.
The one thing that recently I was working on a meditation CD because I believe so firmly in meditating on a daily basis. I really feel that that sends a signal to God, all spiritual realm, whatever you want to call it, that you're listening, that you're in communion with your soul, and that you're there and you're listening. And, you know, what people don't realize, I think, with meditation, that not only can you find guidance for your answers, such as Frances was seeking, but also on a physical level and emotional level, you know, there's some really profound effects of meditation, everything from raising your serotonin levels to lowering your blood pressure. It makes us more creative. I mean, there's just hundreds of reasons to meditate on a daily basis. And I really feel that people that use the excuse, I don't have the time, well, it can take as little as 15 minutes a day. And if you actually have a tool that not only can help you on a spiritual level, but on a physical level, on an emotional level, wouldn't you be worth 15 minutes a day? Because it can keep you healthier and happier and lead a more purposeful life, you know. And I really loved what you did with Frances. I think I could follow your voice. I was almost ready to go myself. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go wherever Lori takes me. I mean, that you have quite the voice.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know, what you just said is so true. Like, you could be at a diner waiting for your friend to show up in a booth or just driving in traffic. Don't close your eyes, but just ask and trust that the answers will come. And automatic writing, you know, if somebody can't sit and really take the time to meditate in the way that the meditators and the yogis love to pronounce.
But there's no right way or wrong way. That's
exactly.
People just think that there's this right way or wrong way. They also think that when I meditate, I should get these profound, you know, my spirit guide should step up and say, hello, I'm your spirit guide, or these profound visions. But very often, meditation is a practice, and they call it a practice for a reason. And that from the practice of doing meditations, your meditations become more profound. But you have to start somewhere. You have to start meditating. And it is a time of really where you put yourself back to center, where you really get back into your own energy. And to me, I could go on and on and on. I just don't even get me started, you know?
No, you're right. Now, I was going to say that not all universal energies are electromagnetic fields, but that consciousness which has passed over is, mm-hmm. And when you want to talk to your loved ones on the other side or ancestors or even God,
right.
You might want to go into water, being in that it's an electromagnetic field, water
sure.
Is a conductor, shower, bath, walking in a stream, the
sure.
Early morning dew, I mean, mm-hmm. Giving people like little tricks to
right.
Help them connect. The mountains are also a great grounder. There's all, you know, a place that you consider sacred to you to reflect, but it can be done in everyday chores, you know, of cutting up the cucumber. I mean, it does come when it comes. And then the invitation is the first act, and then pausing to receive. And if you still get nothing, trust that it will all get illuminated in its perfect time.
Sure. Right. Just to interrupt that thought just for a second. You may not feel in the moment that you meditated that you got anything, but the one thing that I have come to realize is that perhaps in that moment you don't realize that you got something, and that it may be some useful information, it may be some guidance, it might be maybe a gut feeling, or it might be an intuitive thing that is going to come a few days from now. You know, to me, I feel like there's some downloading that goes on in meditation, and that it's not information that you use in that moment, but it could be something a few days later where you were downloaded some information that you use. And so therefore, again, It's about taking the time to go to that place, to listen to your soul, to commune with the divine, and to ask for that guidance, and that's where you start. So, but listen, Laurie, we're down to like 3 minutes left on the show, which is really kind of amazing to me because it seems like we just started a few minutes ago. One of the first things that I do, well, last thing I want to do is I want to make sure that everyone also, you know, knows what your websites are. And certainly if you go to the front page of BBS Radio and you click on the show info tab, Lori's website is right there and you can actually link right off of it there. But also please visit moonviewsanctuary.com. I'm not sure if I listed that there or not. And that's MoonViewSanctuary.com. And Lori Ann Levin, LaurieAnnLevin.com. And make sure that you check out both of Lori's websites. Lori, I swear we've just got a few minutes left on the show. So I'm just going to give you, and before I give you the platform, I want to go back to where we were just before Francis called in and what you were saying about your vision of Moonview is to maybe be the example upon which maybe other people draw, maybe changing the way in which we treat the human being, physically, emotionally, you know, psychologically on all levels, that we need to look at a human being in a different way. And that Moonview really is right along the lines of your numbers, which is out of the box thinking and also being a catalyst for change, which is very strongly represented in your numbers. And so, you know, I really hope that it becomes the model upon which other sanctuaries, other healing centers base their programs. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for the vision, but also thank you for implementing the vision. And you know, personally, I wish you nothing but the greatest success with it.
Thank you. Thank you. And
you're welcome. Now, we've got 1 minute left, so what I'd like for you to do is you've got 1 minute, and, you know, what would be the last thought that you would like to leave with our listeners?
That it's all about love of self, and then everything else follows. And it's so hard to find those places where we can really love ourselves, but it's really, it's important. It's important to feel as though that every exchange you have with yourself or another really is an addition to this crazy world, and that we hold the faith that as a group, if we expand our own consciousness, we expand it all, and we can continue to exist together out of toxicity, out of, you know, what we're doing to the planet, that we all come together and respect different belief systems and understand that if we love ourselves, we can break down defenses, that we can connect to another no matter how different they are.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, Lori, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I'm glad that we finally got this opportunity to spend time together. And
thank you, Allison Bachman. I have enjoyed you so much.
Okay, my dear. Well, do come back and visit us again and certainly keep me posted on everything.
I
want to know what's up with you. I love you.
I love you, too.
All right. Good night. And everyone, I'll be back again next week. We have Paul Quinn on, and he wrote a book on the tarot, and I'm sure you're all going to find that very interesting. So make sure you join me next week, same time. And in the meantime, I wish you all love, peace, and abundant blessings. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.